There are some things that people choose to put in their bodies that aren't good for them. They know it. We know it. Cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, fast food, sweets and candy packed with sugar or weird chemical ingredients. And everybody gets to make their own calls. But it's the stuff that we use that we don't know is harmful that we're talking about today. If you need, for instance, a third-party app just to decode the ingredients in your favorite skin cream or powder, then it's fair to say that lots of people who simply aren't digging that deeply have no idea what they're using or of the potential consequences of it. And that's strange because we've actually had a pretty good idea of the consequences of some of the ingredients in cosmetics for decades. We've just never done much about it. The labels are confusing, and even things you see described as clean or natural. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Right now, it's up to you to find out for yourself. But in the wake of some recent lawsuits and a new documentary project that chronicles them, all that might be about to change. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Phyllis Ellis is the director of Toxic Beauty, and she joins us today. Hello, Phyllis.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, the first question I have is just, how much do we know about what's in the products that we put on our skin every day?
Well, based on all the experts and amazing scientists and formulators and people that I had that we all had the opportunity to meet in the film, not much.
Right.
I would say not much, other than the 750 letter words that are on the back of in that big long list of ingredients,
which I can't pronounce half of them, and I don't know what they mean.
Exactly.
How easily are those products absorbed into our bodies?
Well, again, you know, I'm a filmmaker, but what I learned over the last 3 years, immediately. So whatever you put on your skin goes in. And so the skin is the first line of defense, and anything that we put on our skin gets absorbed. It doesn't just get absorbed into our epidermis or our skin. It gets absorbed into our bloodstream. It gets absorbed and it passes through. It affects our hormones, our endocrine system, our organs, our brains.
And one of the things that struck me while preparing for this interview was not that there are these strange carcinogens out there that make their way into some products, but that there are base products that have these things in it. So tell me about talc.
Talc is a mineral. Talc is a mined substance, and it's mined right next to asbestos. So it's often contaminated. It's mined. And it has this sort of soft property to it that makes it really awesome in dry shampoo and underarm deodorant and blush and eyeshadow and anything powdered. So there's 2,000 products that contain talc. 1,000 are loose powders. So it's a widely used mined that actually is in many, many products. I fell onto the talc story because when I started to research the feature film version of this, you know, concept, I was an Olympian and I competed for a long time, and I used talc baby powder like heroin. I used it everywhere, all over, for probably 10 or 12 years. Fell upon Dr. Dan Kramer, who's the scientist, physician, OBGYN in Boston, that causally linked ovarian cancer and the use of talc in 1982. And so I called Dan and I said, you know, tell me the story. And then throughout, as he was telling me this sort of 30, 40 year evolution of knowing that potentially talc could be causally linked to ovarian cancer, he said, actually, you're at risk. And I got scared, actually, and thought, well, if the most trusted brand in the world is causally linked to cancer, what else are we using that could potentially cause us harm?
How does something like that link get established almost 40 years ago,
right,
and we're still using it today and not many people are discussing it? It seems unfathomable.
Right on. So that's the, I always say, you know, I think there's some number, $750 billion industry, cosmetic. That's the $750 billion question. I guess that abuse of power, big industry, money, commerce leads in this industry as it does in so many other industries. It took 30 years to figure out that tobacco was addictive and that tobacco was linked to lung cancer. And, you know, all Dan Kramer said to the company was, maybe you might want to put a warning label on it, or maybe you might want to remove it. In December 2018, the Canadian government deemed talc a carcinogen. It's banned in other countries for use in personal care products and cosmetics. It is not banned in Canada or the United States. I'd like to see it banned. I don't think it should be used. And to your point, epidemiology is the precautionary principle. So if there's a possibility, so chemicals, minerals, carcinogens, toxicants are not innocent until they're proven guilty. So if there's a chance, why would we put it on our babies? If there's a chance, why would we put it in products that human beings are using and over a long period of time could potentially cause cancer? Doesn't make a lot of sense.
What has been the pushback from the industry? First, I guess, as you've been making this and reporting this documentary, but also just, I mean, over the past few decades.
First of all, the real antagonist in this story isn't necessarily the carcinogens, chemicals, and toxicants. It's the marketing departments and of big industry that say, we need this in order to be. We're either too much or we're not good enough. We have too many wrinkles, our hair's too curly, our skin's the wrong color, we don't smell good enough. If you use this, your life will be better. And we're continually, Mizoda says in the film, we have to change these beauty norms so we don't have to choose between our health and trying to look beautiful according to these arbitrary standards. So that's one thing. But, you know, when an industry is more or less regulating itself, why would they have to change? Formulations cost a lot of money. I think now they're becoming acutely aware that they're going to have to make a change because consumers are smart. Anger is collateral right now. I think people are demanding that we're not being bombarded with chemicals and toxicants in the food we eat. And I think we need to, as do all the experts in the film, take a look at what we're putting on our bodies.
Tell me about that anger and that pushback from the public, because there's a lot of that documented in the film.
There is. And I think it's, if we don't know, we don't know. And one of the really positive things that's happening with the film, no matter where I travel with it around the world, is everybody, the very first question is, what am I supposed to do? What have I done? One of the reasons why we followed the talc story as sort of a spine in the film is because if you use something and it burns your face, you're probably not going to use it again.
Right.
But it's the accumulation, it's the body burden over time that we have to be aware of. And there's key times when these chemicals, toxicants, carcinogens actually impact us. So in vitro, when a woman is pregnant, when a baby is born, puberty, childbearing years, menopause or later in life, anytime there's a hormonal, our bodies are reacting hormonally. There's a great story, actually, Tamara James Todd, Dr. James Todd is who's in the film. She's at Harvard, and there's the Endocrine Society did an experiment, and they had all these young African-American kids that had what's called precocious puberty. And that just means that they're getting their periods at age 8 and they're growing, boys are going through puberty, girls are getting breasts, developing breasts at 8, 9, and 10. Why is this happening? And they worked it back to the hair products, that hair relaxants, shampoos, and extra products that women of color were using on their kids because that's what they were supposed to do. But what they realized was that the chemical and the toxicants and the endocrine disruptors in those products were actually causing, when they stopped using the products, the kids stopped being in early puberty. So this isn't just affecting, you know, lipstick. This is affecting all of us, but lipstick, again, there's lead in that too. So
if the science has been done and we're not going to argue the science, has it been tested in court?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are class actions all over the United States, gajillions of dollars. And, you know, big industry is the Titanic. We're little tugboats.
Right.
The whistleblowers in our film, Dean Berg, she was diagnosed with...
Tell me her story, actually, because she was next on my list
she's
to ask
cool.
you about.
Yeah, she's a really awesome, very strong woman from the Dakotas, and she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, no link, no congenital link, no, you know, she had no, all of a sudden she has it, oh my God, how did I have it? And we started to research it herself. This was in 2009. Anyway, she read and she saw on the Gilda Radner site about ovarian cancer and talc, and she's like, oh my God, I used it every day for how many ever years, got in touch with Dan Kramer, had her tissue tested through a pathologist that works, and there was this amazing sort of guy, it's sort of like an Aaron Brockovich story, this young attorney out of Mississippi named Alan Smith, and he's awesome. And so they got together and they decided to sue Johnson & Johnson. And Johnson & Johnson tried to stop it by offering her $800,000, and she said no. And then they came back and said $1.3 or $1.2 million to stop this. And she said, well, if you put a warning label on it, I'll settle. And they said no. So she said, I'll see you in court. And this woman and this young lawyer took on the Titanic, and they won. But unfortunately, she didn't get any money.
Why not?
That was the deal. She didn't get any settlement. And it was one of the first times, actually, that a plaintiff did not get a settlement in this kind of court case. But what it did was, like, it was almost like it turned on something, and then... lawsuits blew up all over the United States.
Well, they set precedent.
Right. Actually, there's a class action that's opened here in Canada.
Is there?
Now. Yep. So there's 300 or 400 women, I think, on that list. And she spoke to some of them just to prep them before. And so we had a chance to film her. She's a pretty awesome person. One person can make a difference.
Yeah.
Right?
What should a woman, I guess, or anybody, for that matter, who has used these products and wonders what they're doing to them or might have already done to them.
Right.
What should they do?
Stop using the products, reduce and remove. You can get your body burden tested. We used Mimi Nguyen, who's a young medical student in the film. There's a Detox Me program out of Silent Spring in Boston. It actually costs $300. You send your urine in, and actually they send it to a lab in Vancouver. And you can at least get your phthalates and your parabens tested. But if you want to have heavy metals tested, you know, there's Women's College does some testing. There's different places. Can be quite expensive. But I'd also, you know, after these 3 years, you know, people say, oh, it's just trace amounts of lead in lipstick. Well, if you think about it, I started, you know, sneaking my mom's red lipstick on when I was 11 years old, and I'm 30 now. No, I'm, you know, a lot older than 30. So if you think about how many times you reapply your lipstick and then you scrape it off or it's going in, what is my body burden of lead? And I also would like to lean into, you know, because you're worth it, and all of the different slogans that big industry uses to tell us that this is, in order to do this, we have to, you know, this is what beauty means. I'm pretty committed now to look at We're Enough. And I, you know, like to push. We're trying to take this movie from a movie to a movement. And I think part of that movement is empowerment. It sounds a little Deepak Chopra, but what I mean by that is We're Enough. And I think we don't need to use 27 products and contour our face off and, you know, use 1,000 things. I think Dr. Darbra and Dr. Lamphere said clean shampoo, some soap. Really all you need is baking powder, a bit of oil if your skin's dry. That's really all you need. But it's hard. I mean, I went to London, before Christmas, and I was going to let my hair go gray because I thought, you know what, I'm all the way. I've thrown out everything, blah.
Right.
And, you know, 2 days before I went and had $300 worth of chemicals put on because I just thought, I can't go to London looking like this. So, like, no matter where I go or what we do, we're this pressure, you know, now mine is, oh, shit, I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. And
what are you
how am I going to reverse?
Anti-wrinkle
how am
cream
I going to anti? And, yeah. How am I going to reverse that? There's actually a product called Face Off. It's like, is that going to work? So I think that there's a lot of pressure on all of us. But you know, I was saying earlier, kids' products, what we're doing, all the different products that are affecting young kids, and men are not. Men are using 12 to 14 products. Used to be 6 or 7. You know. Low sperm count, breast growth, feminization of boys. There's all kinds of things that are boys are impacted, men are impacted as well. So it's not, but it is a woman's health issue, I will say, because I can assure you if men's testicles were falling off because they were putting baby powder on, this would have been taken off the shelves a long time ago.
Well, that was my next question. Is there an element, first of all, of sexism in reporting, but also because you mentioned African-American girls earlier, also of race in this. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I hadn't heard anything about it. It's my job to know about stories like these, but I didn't, and I didn't believe it affected me. Is it because it's seen as a woman's issue?
I'm going to just say yes. I do believe that's true. Dr. Amy Zoda wrote an article called The Environmental Injustice of Beauty. And Dr. Tamara James Todd, Dr. Sharuthi Malangaya, these are young women of color that are speaking loud about this. I, you know, saw documents where big industry was marketing directly to African-American and Latina women. A lot of the sort of heavy chemicals and really serious carcinogens and heavy metals that are in the products that women are using. And, you know, when beauty also is based on sort of Caucasian white standards, it's, you know, skin lightening is an world epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious, serious, serious issue. And these scientists and doctors are sort of leading experts in this area. I'm certainly not, as a filmmaker, I just have the great privilege of, you know, meeting all these people. And also, as filmmakers, we have the great privilege and to spend time, especially in this film, with women at the end of their lives. I mean, you know, two of the women that we had a chance to spend some time with died before the film. We locked picture. Mm-hmm. And one of the women had passed away prior to when we were ended up being able to use her audio deposition in the film. So, you know, it takes 3 years and a whole pile of people to make a film.
Let's say somebody has seen the film or even listened to this podcast and is probably justifiably a little bit terrified of what they're using.
Mm.
How can you tell if a product is clean, if it's natural? The list of ingredients is nuts. I don't understand any of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also a great question. I certainly, you know, I can't, unless something is tested. Environmental Defense here has tested a whole pile of products. There's an amazing app called Think Dirty that you just basically plug whatever product you're using into this app and it'll spit out and tell you what's in it and it'll give it a out of 10 how toxic that product is. So it's quite awesome to go through all the everything that you're using and, oh, phew, this is okay, you know. And then Environmental Working Group have an app as well that's pretty great that you can kind of measure your products against all of that. I think we have to be careful, or I know we have to be careful. What I've learned is, you know, the word clean, the word organic, the word green doesn't mean it's clean, organic, or green. We have to be careful with the word fragrance or perfume. Don't use anything that says, because the word fragrance is proprietary. So they don't have to disclose the number of chemicals. So sometimes that word fragrance can include 300 chemicals. They don't have to put it on the label. So anything that and anything that is associated with the word fragrance is what's called an endocrine disruptor, which means it affects our endocrine system, which is bad. So even scented candles or any of the scented house products that we use aren't awesome. So, like, I'm down to vinegar and lemon and water to clean my house. And, you know, I've got very little left. I'm hanging on to a little bit of lipstick, but I don't know, man.
You'd probably save a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. There's a lot of pressure with this sort of clean beauty movement, too, to replace your 27 products. You can replace them all with clean.
Right.
You know, but then that goes back to the ideas, why do we need 27 products? Why do we need 22 products? Why do I have to use 17 different things to walk out of the door with my hair in order to feel beautiful or to feel empowered or to feel, you know, that I'm worth it? Because I think that we're all really worth it, and we're worth looking at what we're putting not just in our bodies, but on our bodies.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Thanks.
Phyllis Ellis is the director of Toxic Beauty. That was The Big Story. If you would like more, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca or catch up with us and chat on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And of course, wherever you get your podcasts, you will find us and all our other Frequency Podcast Network shows right there. You can rate them, you can review them, you can give them 5 stars. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.